Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, even though there are toxic chemicals all around us in all kinds of consumer products and in the environment, in the food we eat, the air we breathe, our personal care products, everywhere we look, it seems. There are many, many products that do not have toxic chemicals in them. There are ways we can remove toxic chemicals from our homes and our bodies, and that's the kind of thing that we talk about on this show, is how we can be happy, be healthy, be productive, and do what we want in our lives without being hindered by toxic chemicals. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. And I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, where the sun is shining, and it looks like we may not have a thunderstorm until later in the day, so we shouldn't be interrupted by that. We're going to be talking today about choosing organic and natural and toxic-free beauty products, personal care products, and cosmetics. But first, I want to give you a quote that came in my email this morning. This is from Peter F. Drucker, who was a very successful businessman. And he said, start with what is right rather than what is acceptable. And when I read that this morning, I thought, wow, we live in a society where it's acceptable by many people to have toxic chemicals in our products, but it's not right. And there are many of us, including probably many of you, that's why you're listening to this show, that know that what it's right is to have products and things, practices that we do at home, that are contributing to sustaining health rather than damaging health. And so I like that idea that we should always be considering what's right, what is contributing to our health, what is contributing to sustaining the planet, what is contributing to life and happiness and health, rather than what might be acceptable by people who are not contributing to those things. So I'm happy to introduce my guest today, Joy Wicks, who is a married mother of three, who became committed to starting and running her business, naturaljoybeauty.com, after learning about toxic ingredients in most makeup and body care products. Thanks for being with me, Joy.
Thanks for having me, Deborah.
So why don't you go ahead and tell your story instead of me telling it?
Okay, I appreciate that. Really, I think where it started for me was about 9 years ago, and I was a stay-at-home mother at the time, and I started thinking a lot about the different things that I was using to clean my home. For some reason, cleaning products and makeup and body care all kind of came together at once in my mind as far as being curious about the ingredients and what effects they may be having on myself and my family. Unlike some of the guests you have who've had health concerns or health issues that have caused them to have to make the changes, I can't say that my story was really like that. It was more of a curiosity. As a child, I remember standing in the shower and reading the shampoo labels and just thinking those words were kind of funny words you couldn't pronounce, not knowing what exactly those ingredients were. And I think some of that kind of came back to me as an adult. I was right around the age of 30, 31 at the time, and it just really started to make me wonder what we were doing to ourselves every day. I've worn makeup pretty much every day since I was 13 or 14 years old, and I like to use powder makeup over the top of my foundation and things, and I started to wonder, what am I inhaling? What am I doing to myself? I was using things like scrubbing bubbles, type cleaners to clean my bathroom, and you breathe those things in while you're cleaning. And so a lot of that just kind of made me wonder, you know, what are these things doing to me? And as soon as I sat down at the computer and started Googling, it was like opening Pandora's box. There was so much information out there, and I was amazed to start learning about the things. And so I spent literally hours of my time, because I was able to do that, researching and making lists of the ingredients and things I wanted to avoid. And your website was one that I found very early on and was a great resource for me.
Thank you.
As far as helping me choose the right, like changing dishes and things like that in my house, cookware, all sorts of things, the cleaning products. But then the makeup thing, of course, because of my love of makeup, as I said, I'd been wearing it since I was allowed to. I really want, that's kind of where my focus went, was more on the makeup and the body care side of things. And I was just amazed because I hadn't shopped at health food stores. You know, that wasn't something I was like the general public, the masses. Yeah. I would go to just the mass stores and didn't know a thing about it. So I assumed that if I walked into a health food store, they were going to have these products I was now learning about. You know, they were going mm-hmm. to not include those ingredients. And I was astounded to go in and with my little list in hand and find out that a lot of those products still contain synthetic fragrance and phthalates.
Yes.
And usually the phthalates are in the fragrances, but, you know, that they had still, propylene glycol was still in a lot of the things at the health food store, and just lots of different ingredients that I didn't want to be using. And so I had to, again, spend lots of hours researching products. As a mom, I didn't always have time to stand in the store for hours. So I would write down brand names and then take them home and Google them and try to find ingredients. And then I found a lot of companies try to hide their ingredient list online. They're not real open about what's in the products. And that's usually a good way for people to it's not always the case, but it's a good way usually to judge a brand. If they don't openly display their ingredients on their website, they're usually hiding something.
I totally agree, and that's one of the things that I look for too.
Yeah, because one of the little tricks they'll use is they'll put key ingredients. I'm sure you've seen that, where they list that they have organic shea butter and all the great anti-aging benefits of it and things. But usually the yucky stuff is at the end of the label anyway, down where the preservatives and fillers mm-hmm. and things are. And so that's what I had found. And even now, I mean, after having my business for 5 years, it's been about 9 years I've been into the natural products, but I've had the business now for a little over five. And I'm still always researching products and finding out things, and sometimes I even get disappointed to find out brands aren't upfront about something in a product and we have to pull it, you know, and not sell that product anymore.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing process even for me to always educate myself, because there's always some ingredient I haven't heard of or that new information comes out about. And so research is a big part of it, I think, for the consumer. And I try to do as much of that for the consumer as I can. That's kind of the premise of our website. Is so that you can just come on there and trust what you're buying, you know, that I've researched it as best I can, and that I, you know, do try to keep things updated and change if need be what we're stocking and what we're offering to people.
I would like to ask you, particularly because you weren't motivated by a health concern where that you had some kind of chemical injury or have some other illness like cancer or something where it's known that there's a connection with toxic chemical exposure. What was it that motivated you as an average consumer? I heard you say that, you know, you're just always been interested in these things, but it's so unusual for someone to do as much as you have, that doesn't have a reason, a urgent reason, like I need to get well. So
I understand what you're saying. I think for me, it was, you know, I was concerned about my health and my family's health. And even though we weren't, you know, suffering from any particular illness or allergies or chemical sensitivities. And so for me, I can't say exactly what it was. Maybe it felt more intuitive, maybe, that my body just, you know, wanted to know these things. You know, and I've learned a lot more about that. Having gone more natural, you learn a lot. You meet a lot of people that are into intuitive types of therapies and trainings and things. And I really think it was just something that, you know, I felt led to do, for lack of a better way to put it. It was a sort of a natural path that my mind and my body and spirit, however you want to put it, all kind of felt led to start following down. And then once, as I said earlier, once I opened up Pandora's box, it was like, wow. And then I couldn't stop, you know, and I even got to a point where I like to bring this up, because I know a lot of my customers have mentioned the same sort of issues, where you can actually get to a bad place with that information, where you become depressed and think that everything is so toxic in the world and that there are no good products.
Right.
And it
but
can
you've
be
solved
too much
that.
For you to
and
take
I
it
mean,
once.
We can't say there are no good products because you found them. We're going to talk more about this after the break. My guest is Joy Wicks. She's the owner of NaturalJoyBeauty.com, where she reviews the toxic chemicals found in consumer beauty products and finds the safe ones so you don't have to do that research. And I'm Deborah Mindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be back in a moment. I'm Deborah Lindad, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest today is Joy Wicks, the owner of NaturalJoyBeauty.com. And Joy was interested in makeup and concerned about toxics, and so she started reading labels to find beauty products that did not contain toxic chemicals. Joy, I'm looking at the homepage on your website, and you have a list of what you won't find in the products that you carry. So tell us something about the ingredients and their toxicity and what you think are some of the most important ingredients for people to avoid in personal care products.
Certainly. We have that list that's right there on the homepage that you're talking about, a bulleted list that tells the things you won't find. We also have under the categories on the sidebar on the left-hand side of our website, there, if you go down, there's actually a little article thing on why natural, why it's important, but there's one that says the ingredients to avoid. We even recently updated in the fall of 2012, and that will give a little more in-depth list for people and actually give some of the reasons behind why the ingredients are bad versus just listing them. It'll give a little more detail for customers.
I just clicked there, and I see that. This is a really good list. Let's talk about a few of those because some people are listening and don't have their computers in front of them. But before we do, I just want to make the point that that there are several ways that toxic chemicals can get into your body. And people usually think of if you eat or drink something with toxic chemicals that that's the worst. But in fact, what you put on your skin is actually worse than if you were to drink something or eat something, because when something goes into your body and goes in through your stomach and intestines, you've got fats and proteins and food that mix with it before it actually goes into your body, into your bloodstream. But with a something that you put on your skin, it goes straight into your blood in seconds. And so I consider a toxic chemical going on your skin to be even more hazardous than any other way it could go in your body, except for breathing. Breathing is probably, well, I would say skin one, breathing two, and ingestion number three. From what
I've read
about
toxicity. I would totally agree with you.
Yeah. So
yes, I would totally agree.
Yeah, if people are concerned about, you know, what's in their drinking water or food additives, and you're not paying attention to what you're putting on your skin, pay attention to what you're putting on your skin. And this is like so important. I can't emphasize it enough. Okay, so tell us, Joy, some of the things. You've got a long list here, so pick out some that you think from your research are the most important.
I'm going to bring up some that are what I call the greenwashing ones that you'll see the most, the brands that claim to be natural. And the, you know, the big thing the big thing right now is for brands to say they're paraben-free. And a paraben is a chemical preservative, for those that don't know this, that is a hormone disruptor. It's linked to all sorts of toxicity issues in the human body. And so it's in most products, methylparaben, propylparaben. The word will just be a chemical name that ends with paraben. And a lot of people are learning about that. So now you're going to see all these brands coming out with paraben-free products. But what they're doing is a lot of them are using things that are really not any better as a preservative. It's just not a paraben. And a couple of those things that you're going to see, one is phenoxyethanol. That is in a lot of products. They use other names for it too, like Optifin. So there's different names they kind of trick you with in case you already are learning about phenoxyethanol. It's really where a lot of these companies are hoping the consumer isn't educated on the ingredients and won't question what they're doing. But it is in natural products quite a bit. It is carcinogenic. It's toxic. So it may not mimic estrogen in the body, but it has other toxicity and carcinogenic properties to it. So you want to avoid phenoxyethanol. The other one is Germol or Germabin. They will contain things like the phenoxyethanol or propylene glycol in them. Propylene glycol is a penetration enhancer, and that is in a lot of the deodorants, even the ones that claim to be natural. It's in toothpaste, lotions. It's in just a ton of products. I mean, there's too many to name that have propylene glycol in it. Japanese honeysuckle is the one that a lot of the popular brands right now that are touting themselves as natural are using as a preservative. And there have been studies out there shown that it does mimic hormones in the body, much like parabens. And so if you're putting it in there to replace parabens, you're really, you know, not changing the product and making it any healthier for the consumer. And yeah, customers don't know that. You see something like Japanese honeysuckle extract on the label, and it just sounds sweet and natural and harmless. And it's really sad that people just aren't aware of it. And then fragrance is a big one for me, because that's one that a lot of brands sneak in. A lot of soap makers, and sometimes I don't even know that, like, the people that handcraft soaps, I don't think they do it deliberately. I think sometimes in their cases, they're not even educated well about the difference between an actual essential oil.
I think that's a very important point to make, is that I think that it's not that people, a lot of people are being malicious, it's that they just don't know.
That's true. I mean, sometimes that does happen with companies where they, you know, just like with GMOs and food and things, where they're deliberately not wanting to change things and hide information. But I do think a lot of the times, too, some of the people that are making these products or selling these products are just not educated enough themselves to know the things that they're putting in there. And synthetic fragrance is a bad one because it can contain thousands of different chemicals, not just phthalates in it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies are using phthalate-free fragrance oils and thinking that that's enough, thinking that that allows them to label their soap or their lotions as all natural. And in reality, that isn't an all-natural product. They should be using essential oils and CO2s and things like that to scent the product if they truly want it to be 100% natural. So yeah, in our shop, we don't allow synthetic fragrance. All of our vendors that we purchase products from are claiming to use actual essential oils, or some of them use organic flavor oils so that we can offer some fun flavors that you can't find in an essential oil. Because there is a company out there that provides those, and they're USDA certified.
Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and my guest today is Joy Wicks, who's the owner of naturaljoybeauty.com, and she has done all the legwork of reading all the labels and finding out the toxic chemicals and finding the cosmetics and personal care and beauty products that are the least toxic and most organic that she can find, including things like I was just looking at her site during the break, and she even has toxic-free nail polish. So, Joy, let's talk about, you've got so many products. Let's talk about some of them. So,
sure.
Nail polish, is this really, there's no toxic chemicals in it?
No, now on our website, we even kind of will tell people it's not 100% natural, because there isn't 100% natural nail polish. You still have to have some acrylic in it.
Right.
But they have removed all of the things like the toluene and the phthalates and the formaldehyde. And now one thing you'll find too, out on the market, there's a lot of nail polishes now claiming to be 3-free or 5-free. What they mean when they say that is that they don't have those things that I just mentioned, or the three big ones, Some of them will even go as far as to remove like 5 of the main chemicals that cause that horrible smell and toxicity to nail polish. Mm-hmm. But those 3 and 5 free nail polishes will still smell bad. They still have that polish solvent smell, and they still contain a lot of chemicals in them, whereas the ones that we carry are all water-based, and the water-based polishes are a lot safer. They don't contain, you know, any of those smelly products. They're great for people with allergies and sensitivities to the scents. And the only unnatural ingredient in them is the acrylic that helps it to stick to your nail. But the colorants used are all natural. They're primarily water-based. And there's a couple of different brands that we carry right now and offer for the consumer.
Yes. I was looking, I am constantly looking at nail polish, and I think that you've done a great job at choosing the least toxic ones available, for people who want to wear nail polish. For myself, I still wouldn't put acrylic on my nails, but, right. I think that if somebody wants to wear nail polish, I think you've done a fabulous job at choosing one that removes the most toxic things. And
thank you. And so, that's all I could really do when it came to nail polish, because really the only other option are some of those natural buffing kits that someone can use.
Right.
And try to buff and do the shine to their nails. But other than that, really the ones that we've chosen, the Environmental Working Group has their rating system. And for the most part, I usually agree with their ratings, not always on products. I still try to research above and beyond just using their website.
Yeah,
but they're a good starting point. And the Aquarella that we carry, that is the safest rated nail polish, even with them, with EWG. And then also, like, the Kiki brand that we carry, and there are some others that we don't carry that are good, too, like Honeybee Gardens and Suncoat Naturals. Those are a couple of other good water-based brands. And they rate just a slightly higher than Aquarella. Aquarella was the cleanest, and the cleanest of the Aquarella would be the conditioner, the clear polish. Mm-hmm. If someone's extremely concerned, that would be, the lowest as far as the rating there on that toxicity scale with EWG.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job on that. So tell us about, what do you think is, of all the beauty products and cosmetics, what do you think is the most important one or the most important few that people should be concerned about and find an alternative for, besides nail polish? I would say nail polish is the most toxic one.
Yeah, it's pretty toxic. But I also, women cover their, not all women, but there's a good chunk of women in our society that wear foundation. You're covering your entire face with that all day long. If I had to pick out of makeup, mascara is probably going to be a little less on the scale, because mascara, especially if you get it taken off at night before you go to bed so that it's not sitting on your skin, the residue of it isn't sitting there overnight. Mascara is sitting on your lashes, for instance, even though I think it's important to change, it's not my top priority. But foundation, the eyeshadows, the things that lay on your skin for hours, those are the things I worry about. Lotions are big, because you're covering a mass amount of your skin, your largest organ of your body with it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you do absorb those chemicals, as we know, because even the drug companies and things make medications that are absorbable, topical application medications, because they know that it will get into your skin.
And patches.
And it's the same. Yeah. And it's just, and the patches, exactly. It's the same thing with putting lotion on. If it has bad ingredients in it, you're going to absorb that over a really large part of your body. And
yes.
I think shampoos and things like that are really good too, and soaps, because you're covering yourself with those while you're in a shower. And yes, you're rinsing them off, but they're on your body long enough. And most people shower every day. So those are things you're on a regular basis absorbing. I think toothpaste is another one, because we all pretty much brush our teeth 2 or 3 times a day. Or should be, and there's a lot of things in our toothpaste, too, so that, it does go beyond just even the makeup. We have a lot of different body care products on our website. The toothpaste we carry, you could honestly swallow it, and it wouldn't even do any harm to your body, because there's just none of the toxic ingredients or the fluoride or any of those things in it.
Yeah, I was just looking at your homepage, and you have a video on your homepage right now about, what's the brand? It's called Earth... Earth paste, amazingly natural toothpaste. I think I haven't tried that actually yet, but it looks fabulous. It looks very natural.
It's great. And their video's really funny. They've got a really cute little spoof of a video that they did, you know, to keep it light and funny and show humor, but also educate the consumer about the things that are in toothpaste, because that's just one of those things a lot of people don't think about. They don't think twice about what they're brushing their teeth with. And the dentist and everybody else are telling you you need the fluoride and you need these different brands. And, you know, triclosan is one of the things, that antibacterial agent that they're putting in all the antibacterial soaps and things. They're now introducing that into a lot of the toothpaste, like the Colgate
potable
things. And customers don't realize that. When you see the commercials where they show how someone's breath stayed fresh for 12 hours, it's because they're putting antibacterial agents in there. And so it's not bad enough that we're already absorbing it through our skin with all the hand soaps out at places or that people are bringing into their homes. But you're also absorbing it through things like your toothpaste. They've put it in deodorants and things too. And so, you know, there was Dateline, had a report. We had it posted on our Facebook page and shared it with our customers. But they did a report where one of their producers actually did her blood test prior to doing her report to check for toxic chemicals in her body. And she did do some changes in how she heated up things in plastic containers and microwaves and stuff. But one of the things she did was she changed her makeup that she was wearing. And then her levels were really high in BPA and phthalates and all sorts of chemicals. Changed her makeup and stopped heating things up in certain products, and then did her blood test, and her levels were down significantly just by making a few changes.
Yeah. BPA actually doesn't stay in your body very long, and so if people have high BPA levels, it's because they're being continuously exposed, and you just stop using it, and within like a week or less, you won't have so much BPA in your body. And that affects your endocrine system. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest is Joy Wicks from NaturalJoyBeauty.com. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we'll be back after this message. Listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest is Joy Wicks, owner of Natural Joy Beauty, where she has done the legwork of looking at all the ingredients and studying which ones are toxic and not toxic and choosing the products that do not contain toxic chemicals. And she has everything from cosmetics to facial care, hair care, an apothecary, baby and mom, coconut-free products, gluten-free products, vegan products, laundry and cleaning products. There's just so many things that you can use for basically for household and personal care on her site, where she's already done the work to find the toxic chemicals and choose products that don't have them. Joy, this is our last segment. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we haven't talked about?
Well, I just think a good thing that I want people to know, I brought it up earlier in the show about how it can be really overwhelming once you do open up to educating yourself and to learning about things. It can be really scary trying to find products and overwhelming. And I like to tell people that it's take it a day at a time, a product at a time. Don't overwhelm yourself trying to make the transition to where you just are in a panic mode. You know, understand that each thing you eliminate out of your, each toxic product and ingredient that you eliminate out of your daily routine is going to be beneficial for you. You know, to realize that that's all going to add up in the end, and that it's okay if you can't afford to change everything all at once. Baby steps works just fine. You know, if you can afford the luxury of just learning about things and changing all of your products, that's great, then do it. But for a lot of people, that's not practical, and I think they need to realize that. Another thing we like to do on our particular website is we do carry samples of a lot of the products, too, so that customers can really try things before they buy the full size and make sure it's the right
fit
for them, the right color for them. In the case of all of those with chemical sensitivities and allergies, they can test for allergies and things with the products, because even natural things you can obviously be allergic to. You mentioned that we have coconut-free products. That was one I was not aware of, people with coconut allergies. But there are people with that allergy, and they can't use commercial products because those chemicals are coconut-based. But then they go to natural products, and they're all containing coconut oil in the soaps and things. So we've found vendors who make products that don't contain any coconut oil for those people that need that.
Yes, it's like you've got a lot of these things covered. I agree with you that that people should do things one by one, because it can be overwhelming. I know in my particular case, once I discovered that toxic chemicals in my environment were making me sick, I just wanted to get rid of them all at once. And I did. I just went through my house and I took out everything that I could identify that was toxic, which left me with kind of an empty house. And so, then I had to find products. And when I was doing this back in 1978, it was very much, polyester was the most popular thing. We didn't have all those natural products that we have now in 1978, and to even find something like a bar of soap, that back then people were using ivory soap because it was the purest soap that existed. But ivory is very highly scented with synthetic fragrance, but still it was the most natural product you could find in 1978 when I started. So we've come a long way, and there's so many products that are available now that it's not a matter of them not being available, but a matter of people choosing them and finding the ones that work best for them. There's a lot of reasons why a lot of products need to exist, because everybody has their own individual preferences and sensitivities. But you've given a really good selection, and I think that a lot of people will be able to find what it is they need on your site. I can't say enough good things about what you've done, Joy. You've done a really great job.
Well, thank you, Deborah. I appreciate that. And you were, as I mentioned before, a big part of my journey in the beginning, too. And you've helped me throughout the years. Your website has been a great resource, and I always tell people about it, because there's so much valuable information on there that can help change the things that they're using, not just on their bodies, but in their homes.
Thank you. So I think the question that I would like to ask you personally is, tell us about especially mineral makeups, because there's a lot of new mineral makeups on the market. And are there ingredients in the mineral makeups that we should be watching out for?
There are. Bismuth oxychloride is one that a lot of people are sensitive to. It's not necessarily toxic, but it is one that can cause sensitivities. It's in the major brand, without naming names, that most people see on infomercials and in the mall. They use bismuth oxychloride, and a lot of the popular brands do. A lot of the ones you're going to find at your drugstore, the traditional brands of makeup have all come out with their own versions of mineral makeup. They're putting parabens. They're actually still using paraben preservatives, which you don't need in a dry mineral makeup, so I'm not sure why they're putting it in there. And they're using talc. That's something that we avoid in the products we carry. A lot of the other issues are the nanoparticles. You may hear about that, where the particles are so small that they're getting into the bloodstream and they're easier to be inhaled and cause problems for the body. So we like to even offer options with that. None of the products that we sell are nanoparticle, or contain nanoparticles, I should say. But we do offer pressed and cream makeup and things like that for those that are just extremely concerned about, you know, inhaling any of the powder products. We do have options for them to help minimize inhalation or take it away by it being a cream eyeshadow or a cream blush or cream foundation. But the bismuth oxychloride is a big one. As I said, those other companies are putting in lots of the same chemicals that they're using in their regular liquid foundations and things. They're just putting that in the mineral makeup for whatever reason. And so the other thing to watch out for is that even if you get into a mineral makeup line, a lot of times the powders may be fairly safe, but start looking when they have primers and mascaras and things that are cream or liquid based. Watch out for those things we talked about earlier, like the phenoxyethanol and the Japanese honeysuckle extract and synthetic fragrance, because a lot of times they sneak those things into those products and you don't realize that you just kind of buy into the line because it's mineral makeup. And the primary products like the facial makeup and blushes and things are safe or fairly safe ingredient-wise, and you don't realize that when you start buying the other things from that brand, they may not be what you're actually looking for.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I've realized as I talk to manufacturers, but also I talk to people who are looking at regulations and various things, and there's an awareness level that needs to change, and you and I and others are all working on this because it needs to change on the consumer level, but it also needs to change on the manufacturing level and on the regulatory level, because manufacturers, there aren't a lot of manufacturers who really understand the issues as well as even say you and I understand them. And yet there are, and we need to be really focusing on those manufacturers who do understand and are trying to do their best and are producing the purest products, and then bring along the other manufacturers as well. Because I can imagine from the viewpoint of a manufacturer that's making a really toxic product, that their entire income and their business are all based on producing toxic products. And maybe they didn't know that they were toxic in the beginning, although a lot of toxic things have been known for decades and people still use them. But there needs to be a change. There needs to be a shift, and it needs to happen across the boards where we all start learning what are the toxic chemicals and what are the not toxic chemicals, and be making the products out of those materials that are safe, that they're, most of the time, they're not going to be, you know, man-made chemicals, although there are some synthetic chemicals that are not too toxic. But it's going to be this whole shift to turn around and start figuring out a new way to make things, and that needs to be supported by consumers. Consumers need to understand and want to buy the products that exist so that we'll continue to support that market. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would. And a lot of times it's cost, because a lot of the chemicals are a lot cheaper to use than the natural and organic ingredients. But sadly, I don't think these companies realize that consumers would gladly pay an extra dollar or two for a product if it were going to be safer for them. You know,
yes.
and that's
yes.
where it, there has to be more education, because as you said, I don't think that all of the companies are bad guys per se or doing it intentionally, but there are companies that are knowingly putting out toxic products just because of the cost. And so that they make more money off of it. And I think that there does have to be more awareness, more education, as you said, with the companies themselves, with the consumers and consumer demand. You know, as we're seeing now, consumers are saying, hey, we want our food labeled whether or not it has GMOs in it.
Right.
And I think the same thing is going to need to happen with the beauty industry, because some of these companies actually produce safer products to sell in Europe and other countries, safer versions of their baby washes and things like that, that they won't sell to us in the U.S. And it's all because of profit margins. And the consumers in the U.S. don't really understand and aren't educated enough to ask for something different. And so I really think it's your show is a great platform for educating people, and that needs to happen.
Thank you. And here comes the music. And so that's the end. Thank you so much, Joy, for being with us again. Her website is naturaljoybeauty.com. If you're looking for some beauty products, go over to Natural Joy Beauty and see what she has.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome. I'm Deborah Lindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.